Good morning and welcome to Old Lion, Young Lion, the premier Bible show on WPTR, all the Alive Radio networks, YouTube, Spotify, and everywhere you get your podcast. We're so happy that you're here with us today. My name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Samuel Hazelton, and we are Old Lion, Young Lion. Now, both of us are part of the elder team of Electric City Baptist Church, and we meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. at 2350 Hamburg Street in a city called Schenectady, New York. And we'd love to have you come and lift your voice and worship with us and open up the Word of God and hear the Bible preached and declared. Now, this show is going on its third season. We'll be finishing up our third season this spring, and we want you to stick with us. We're going into the fourth season. We're adding the video component, so you will not now miss our beautiful faces, and we're excited that you are going to be sticking with us and staying a part of the show. Now, you can email the show and get any of your requests or comments on the show. You can email us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com, and we will make sure that you get spotted and shown here on the show. We'll hear what you got to say. And now, before we go any farther into this, I'm excited about today's episode, but I got to make sure that I bring up our sponsor this week. And to sponsor this week's episode, it looks like it is a Seth Chris, and we want to thank you. A big shout out to Seth Chris. I know that you will be baptizing your bigger brother coming up soon, and so shout out Seth Chris, and you're also a deacon at one of the local churches in the upstate area, and so thank you for sponsoring today's episode. Before we go any farther, before we get into today's content, before we dig deep into some scripture, Old Lion, do you think you can kick off our show in a word of prayer?
Yes, I will. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to be on the radio. Lord, you have been with us as we've been going through this series on theologies. We talked about God, we talked about man, we talked about sin, and today we are going to talk about the greatest ology, in my opinion, of all, is soteriology. And we're going to talk about the doctrine of salvation. Lord, I'm thankful for our salvation. Lord, I'm thankful that Jesus died for our sins. I'm thankful that he forgave us. I'm thankful that he has made us new creatures. I'm thankful that we are going to spend eternity with him in heaven. Father, I pray today that as we open up these truths from the scripture, that you would help us to communicate them clearly. I pray for those listening that their hearts would be touched, that they would know how much this Savior loves them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all those that are listening. And we don't know where you are, what's going on in your life, and how things have been going, trial or triumph. We hope that today's show brings you just a little bit closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've been on theologies for a little bit of time, and we're going to be talking about soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. But Old Lion, if you could, give us a little preview of where we've been, what we've been doing over the past few weeks, and where we're going today, and where you see us going in the future. So where have we been?
Okay, we have covered in this series on theologies, we've covered the doctrines about God. We've talked about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We have switched over. Now we've been focusing for the last few episodes on the doctrines related to men. We had anthropology and what is man? He's body, soul, and spirit made in the image of God. We talked about hamartiology, which is the doctrine of sin. What is sin? It is a violation of God's law. It's also this indwelling thing that takes over a person as they give themselves to sinful practices, they become enslaved to it. And today we are going to talk about soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. How can we be saved from our sins? And what does this salvation entail? What does it mean? So I'm very excited about that. We have several other theologies coming up in the next ensuing weeks. We're going to deal with angelology. We're going to deal with ecclesiology. We're going to deal with a whole bunch of them. We got about five or six left, and I'm excited as we get into the rest of this series.
Now, you might ask, what is this saved or salvation? We're going to talk about this a little bit today, but some of you might not know, there's been some interaction that Old Lion and Young Lion have had throughout our lives with Christian teaching, Bible teaching, and experiences that we've had. Some of you might not know that I was saved in a church plant in a town called Santa Maria Valley, California in 1996. A young preacher decided to plant a church in a shopping center or shopping mall, and they had a small little storefront, and they opened a church in there, and I heard him preaching about who Jesus was, and I got up out of my seat, and I walked up to the preacher in the pulpit. He was shocked that my mom even sent me up there to find out what he was talking about, and he pointed me directly in the direction of the assistant pastor in the back. It was kind of a reverse altar call. He was kind of sending me to the back, and there in the back, there was a man named Jerry Newlove, and he opened up the Bible, and he showed me how I can be saved. And so that was a long time ago. I've been walking with the Lord almost 30 years now. And so I know that, Old Lion, there was a story that you remember from your kind of searching days when you were a younger man. Why don't you give the listeners a little surprise here today?
Yeah, so I was a college freshman down in Binghamton, New York, and my good friend and I, who later led me to Christ, were riding in a bus together. This was before either of us knew who Jesus was or had been saved. We're riding in this bus, we're going down into downtown Binghamton, and I look over to my right, and there's a huge neon cross. It may be 15, 20 feet high. The thing was gigantic, and it said, Jesus saved. And I looked over at this thing, and I was completely bewildered. And I turned to my friend, and I said, what does that even mean? I was kind of annoyed by the thing being so audacious there.
You annoyed? Oh.
And I said, what does that even mean? And I was genuine. It was a sincere question. But my friend at the time, he could not answer the question. He said, he just shook his head and said, I don't know.
Well, it might be the question of life, this, what's faith, what is salvation, what does it mean to be right with God? In the end of the Bible, the end of the book, in the book of Revelation, there's this unique ending. Instead of what people think about what Revelation is, where it is all this wrath of God and this all these things kind of being poured out onto the earth, there is this ending to the book of Revelation, which you got to go read in chapters 21 and 22. And there's this very special verse to me, and this is what the Bible says. In Revelation chapter number 21, verse 24, it says, and all the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And it's talking about spending time in the presence of the Lord for all eternity. Now, this word saved kind of shows up throughout the entire book of the Bible, but it has this ending where the saved, whoever the saved are, they end up being actually rescued from all this thing on the earth and being in the presence of the Almighty God for all the rest of eternity. And it says that there shall be no tears and no crying, there shall be no pain, and there shall be the Spirit and the Bride there drinking from the river of pure life. And so this is an interesting way that the book, the Bible, ends. Go look it up. But Old Lion, what is this word saved? What does it mean? What does the word mean? What's the definition of it?
So the word in the Greek is sozo. That's where we get this soteriology idea from. But it has both those connotations to it. It means being rescued from trouble. It also means being made whole, being restored to what you were intended to be. And it encompasses both of these meanings. It's used for both of these things throughout the New Testament. So we're going to get into that today as we talk about the connection between salvation and our last episode of hamartiology and the previous episode of anthropology.
Well, we want to be clear about this as we're going to get into what we're saved from. That's going to help us define what we're talking about. You maybe have heard people say, I want to save some money with a coupon. Or maybe you've heard someone say, save me the last piece of pizza or something like that. Maybe even you have fallen off a canoe in your younger years or a boat and you cry out like Peter did, someone save me. Or maybe you've seen the movie Titanic and they're screaming for the lifeguard to save them. Well, this will help us define it. Now, the word saved is used in a bunch of different ways, but it does relatively mean the same thing, to be rescued, to be delivered, to be made whole. And so we're going to look at specifically what we're talking about today in soteriology is not being save me the last scoop of ice cream or save me from this situation that I'm in where I don't feel like I should be. This is going to be talking about specifically what the Bible talks about, what you're saved from. So let's go through some of the things. And when the Bible talks about being saved, being delivered, being rescued, what are we saved from?
Yes, we go back to our last episode on hamartiology, which is we are saved from sin and its consequences. Ooh. And so I just have a little list here that I want to go through. And one of the things we're saved from is the guilt of sin. As people, each of us, the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned against God's law. We've all violated God's law. And there is guilt associated with that. There's punishment that's stored up. There's wrath being stored up against our guilt. There's also, there's shame associated with it.
Before you go to shame, and I want you to share this, but I think people need to understand about this guilt idea. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 11, when Jesus is speaking, he says, "Come unto me," Jesus says, "all of you that are tired and heavy laden, burdened."
Yeah.
There's this idea of guilt. My aunt used to tell me this phrase all the time, that there's no good sleep than one who has a pure conscience. Mm. And this guilt, you all know, this guilt weighs on you. It's heavy. It hurts. When you know that you're in sin or you're in something wrong or you're anxious about all the things that you've done in your entire life, that does not just go away with the snap of a finger. But Jesus says, "Bring that to me." So when we're saved from guilt, it's a very important one because people don't think that through. They kind of think Jesus rescues them, but they're still stuck in their guilt, even though we got lucky that Jesus saved us. It's not that. He takes your guilt away from you as well. Okay, go to shame.
Yeah, that's good. And he takes it away. How he does this is he pays the price for you. That payment has been paid by the blood of Jesus, and that guilt is gone. And associated with it is shame. So when we sin against God, when we sin against people, there is an element of shame. Shame causes us to withdraw and separate. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from other people. And so the salvation that Jesus wants to bring to us is to restore us in fellowship to God and restore us in fellowship to other people.
It's an interesting thought that Jesus is on the cross, and I know you guys know the story, and Jesus is looking past his sacrifice that he's making to the joy that's set before him, and the person and the people that he's looking at are all of us. So I want you to recognize that when Old Lion says that his sacrifice, or he paid for us on the cross, it's with his very blood that as he was nailed to the cross, he was paying for our sin, for our guilt, for our shame. The Bible says that not only is he the atonement, but also he's the propitiation. He's replaced to you. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians that he was rich and he became poor so that we who were in poverty can be made rich. And before we go into the whole gospel story, Old Lion, what are some other things that you can say objectively that we were saved from? Was there anything else that you had on your list?
Yeah, for sure. We talked about last week in hamartiology the power of indwelling sin.
Okay.
And so Jesus saved us from the power of sin that kind of controls us. It desires to master us. It desires to overpower us. But God said, you must overcome it. You must master it. And this is what Jesus did on the cross. He took that thing, that power of indwelling sin, and he crucified it on his cross. The Bible says Jesus became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. And so there was an exchange that happened there. Another one there is spiritual death or separation from God. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, it says, God's hand is not too short that it cannot save. His ear is not dull that he can't hear your cry, but your sins have made a separation between you and your God. Your iniquities have hidden his face from you. This is the plight of everyone who's in sin. They're separated from God. They're in spiritual death. Jesus, when he rose again from the dead, everyone who believes in his name receives that same resurrection. Their spirit is quickened. Their spirit comes to life, and all of a sudden, they have a new spiritual life that they never had before.
Not only this, when we talk about being separated from God or being spiritually dead so you can't communicate with God, you have to remember, folks, that this reality that God created is intended for it to be in full fellowship with God. So every single person, whether they've placed their faith in Jesus or not, is in need of communication with God. And those people whose spirits are dead, they haven't been saved from their separation from God, is still yearning and desperately in need of all the connection that their soul, body, and spirit need from God, but they can't have it while their sins have not been forgiven. They have to be quick quickened. They have to be awakened from their dead position and made alive in Christ so that they can walk with him. This is why you see people have spats of hope, but then crashed when temporal fillings of these hope are not satisfying. When people, you know, we've heard these stories about people who won the lottery and within 6 months they've lost every single thing that they won because none of those things can fill the spot in your heart that God can fill. Now, let me ask you this, old man. I know this is a little off topic, but I want you to kind of give me this. We didn't maybe plan for this. Give me your thoughts. There's some things that we're saved from. Can you give a couple of things that we might be saved to? Mm. What are maybe one or two things that the Christian gets as a benefit of his relationship with God that he didn't have before?
Well, you mentioned it right there. You have a restored relationship with God, which means you walk around in fellowship with God all the time, with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. You have joy, you have peace, you have hope, you have treasures that money can't buy, that you're walking around with all the time, peace with God, and a hope for the future. When Jesus comes back to establish his kingdom, he's going to destroy all causes of sin. All evildoers are going to be forever removed. There's going to be a perfect, blissful, eternal paradise with God forever. Imagine us sitting with Jesus on his throne as he conquered and sat with his Father on his throne. It's going to be awesome. There's no way you want to miss out on this.
I completely concur and agree with you. And I like what you said there, that they have peace with God. Folks, maybe you didn't understand. You were at enmity with God before you came to know him. And if you don't know God, you're at enmity with him. You're an enemy of him. He is coming to save those who are still yet in their sin. And so what this means is, it means two things. One, if you've been saved, as the Bible declares it, if you've called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, that not only are you at peace with God now, but what comes from peace with God is a personal peace that passes all understanding. And so not being at war with the God gives you the ability to be at peace with yourself. Now, I'm not saying in any condition. God obviously wants you to take steps of rectifying some things in your life. But if you've placed your faith in him, God has now stopped warring with you, and now he brings you to his side to walk with you. So the peace with God brings peace that passes understanding. Now, last week we talked about this idea of anthropology. What is man? So if we knew what is man, you know, body, soul, and spirit, is, I want you to answer this, old line. Give the people some thoughts. How are we saved? Not what do we have to do to become saved, but in what ways are we saved in accordance with who we are as a man?
We are body, soul, and spirit. And I'm going to take those in reverse order here, because when we are saved, something happens spiritually. And as we walk with Christ throughout the rest of our days, something happens in our soul. When Jesus returns to come and save those who are waiting for him, there's something that's going to happen to our body. And so we have, just like we learned about man being three parts, the Christian life is salvation for the entire person, not just for their spirit, not just for their soul, not just for their body, but for the whole person is going to be saved. And it starts out with the spirit. And the first thing that happens when someone receives salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ is their spirit, that part of their being that can communicate with God, is going to be quickened. It's going to come to life, and they were separate. Death is nothing but separation. That's what death is. It is separation. So to say that you were spiritually dead, it means your spirit is separated from its creator, from God. And the first thing that happens when a person becomes saved is that their spirit is joined to the Holy Spirit, and they now have a relationship with God that they never had before.
Well, no, I'm interested in this. So some of you listeners might know I've been playing basketball for years, and I am 36 years old, but my knee is 81 years old, and my ankles are 74 years old. So when you gave me this list about how we're saved, spirit, soul, and body, I'm interested. What do you mean by how is this body, this old thing that I got, how is this thing going to be saved? Give me some hope for tomorrow about my current condition today. In my makeup DNA as a human being, how is my body going to be saved?
Well, I will tell you this. There is something that happens to people who walk around in this world who are not saved. It's called the sin tax.
Okay.
And so the behaviors that people do because they're in their sins definitely takes a lot of life out of their physical bodies. But there's something bigger going on here. And that is, the Bible says this in Romans chapter 8, that if the spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will give life to your mortal body. So
right.
There is a promise. You know, the Bible talks about us as believers being able to lay our hands upon the sick and having them recover. There's a promise in the scripture for physical healing and physical health. However, this body thing, it also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that our outer man, our physical body, is wasting away day by day. We're getting older. It's breaking down, folks. It's not getting stronger. But it says that our inner man, as a Christian, your inner man, your soul and your spirit are being renewed day by day. So you're becoming powerful, strong, and vivacious on the inside, even while your body is wearing down on the outside. So
you're not giving me great hope about what's going to happen on this side of heaven, but the verses do say, old lion, it says that by his stripes we are healed. And I think that part of salvation, I think people sometimes want to make this into one individual experience about what getting saved is. And I think both you and I agree that regeneration or new creation does happen transactionally. God changes us in the blink of an eye. And I think transformation into the army of the Lord happens when we place our faith. But is there other bodily salvation? You know, you talked about healing. What does this look like? How is this part of our healing? How will I have hope that not only am I going to just be healed in a distant future, can I have some blessings about what I'm going to receive here today?
Yeah. Physical healing is a real thing.
Yeah.
In fact, my friend who led me to Christ, the whole reason he became a Christian was because his aunt had been healed of a disease, a jaw disease that she was supposed to have surgery for. She ran into some Christians. They laid hands on her. She got healed. His whole family, as a result, came to Christ, and then he came and led me to Christ. So it was physical healing that actually brought me into a saving faith with Jesus Christ.
And scripture kind of has this interchange when it talks of this Greek word sozo that you're telling us about. It is used about how can I be saved in eternity, but it's also used how can I be saved today? Deliver me from some of these things that are happening to me today, some of these things say in the scripture. And so we got to be careful about some of these guys that'll just eliminate the supernatural power that God has over people that are receiving him by faith. At the same time, we want to make sure that our reliance is on Jesus, not what he can get us.
Yeah,
and so
we
got to be careful by not just eliminating or just swinging from one side to the other. Okay, I'm sorry for dragging that along. Just really wanted to make sure I can still get some better ankles.
Well, God has built your body in a way that it heals itself as long as you stay away from the things that you shouldn't be repeatedly doing. I think you'll be just fine.
That's very good advice. Okay, so I want to give this trichotomy that you gave as regard to salvation, this trinity of salvation. There's an old phrase that goes like this, that we've been saved from the penalty of sin, we're being saved from the power of sin, and someday we will be saved from the presence of sin. And we're going to kind of watch how this goes throughout our what salvation is. But do you have any thoughts about this old preacher's phrase that I just gave you, old line?
Yeah, I would say that we've been saved from both its penalty and from its power. And we're being sanctified right now. And sanctification has to do with your soul, and primarily. And that is your mind. And so what's happening as we walk in our Christian life day by day, day after day, we are being transformed by the Word of God. We're being transformed as we worship God. We are being sanctified, separated to God. This is a process that will last your whole life. So your spirit was saved when you believed. Your soul is being saved as you walk with Christ. And in the future, when Jesus returns, your body is going to be saved. Our lowly body that breaks down, that is subject to weakness and disease, is going to be transformed into the same type of body that Jesus has. It'll be a glorious body in the likeness of his glorious body. That's going to happen when Jesus comes back. It's hard to imagine that, but that's going to happen, and you're going to have a forever body that doesn't break down, that doesn't die, that doesn't decay, that isn't subjected to weakness and infirmity and disease.
Okay, I like that. And folks, we should always be walking in hope as well. If you're kind of someone that wants to look at Christianity and make it be turned into crumbs rather than into a smorgasbord of what God has to offer, you need to be more on the hopeful side. I'm not saying be foolish, but you should be excited about what adventure Jesus has put you on. And if you don't know Jesus, you should be kind of, the Bible says that you should be able to look at Christians and say, I want that. I want what they got. All right, so let's kind of move into the last phase of this. And I know there's so much on soteriology that we can get into, Old Lion, but how is it that one can get saved? If someone came up to you and said, Old Lion, what must I do to be saved? And folks kind of make fun of that, but in a world these days, there are more people than you even understand that go to bed at night saying, I wish I can have something better than this life. How can I be saved from this? So where would you go? I know there's some places in the Bible, but talk to us. How can someone get saved?
Well, it's very interesting. This very question was asked by a man in Acts chapter 16, and he asked it this way. Paul and Silas were in a jail where they had been placed because they were serving God, and they had been beaten. In midnight, they're singing and praising God in the middle of everybody in the jail is listening to them, and all of a sudden, there is an earthquake, and the walls shake. Everybody's shackles fall off. Everybody in the jail is set free. Paul makes sure that nobody leaves. The jailer was about to commit suicide. Paul stops him from committing suicide, said, hey, we're all here. You don't have to kill yourself. And the guy asks the question. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And in verse 31, they responded to him, and it says, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. And so this is the simple answer to the question. There's only one thing that you need to do to be saved, and that is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And this is where we get the idea that God sent his Son down to not only destroy the works of the devil, but also to save those who would believe in him. The Bible says that he is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Now, we don't have that much longer on the show, but I really want to point this out. And Old Lion and I have had these conversations for a long time. We won't go deep into it. But there seems to be, in the world today, a lacking of serious Christianity, where this show doesn't do super deep dives on some of this. But I want you to know, right after the very next verses in Acts chapter number 16, it's midnight when this guy gets saved. It's midnight. It's 12:05. It's 12:05. He just is a part of an escape plan from jail, and his prisoners escape, and he looks at the prisoners and says, I need what you got. How do I get saved? And they say, you need to believe on the name of the Son of God. And that's true. That's what it takes to be saved. You need to believe on the name of Jesus Christ. But you know what it says in the next two verses? At midnight, it says this. They go and they wash off the wounds. Paul and Silas wash off the wounds that they have. And then they turn around at midnight at this guy's house and they baptize him. They didn't sign up for some church thing in 6 months to get baptized. They didn't do a long-term study of what it looks like, what baptism is, what's the history of the small tanks in Jerusalem. They didn't do any of that. What this life is about taking up your cross and following Jesus, it's not supposed to be something scary or something frightful, but there is a call to turn from whatever was behind you and to start walking towards Jesus. And the very first thing this dude does is he gets dunked in water, not at a church service, not at a beach, at his house at midnight after he's basically fired from his job and the prisoners that got him fired just led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. So while you're not going to catch Young Lion ever saying that you need to be baptized in order to get saved, it's a clear instruction that anybody who is saved better get baptized. And I don't know if you can't understand some of this from reading the Bible or you're caught up reading too many books that say they're about the Bible but aren't the Bible, but you need to pay attention to some of these things. This soteriology is an interesting thing that we talked about, and we think why it's so important to us is because the world is full of lost sinners and they need to be transformed into the kingdom of his dear Son. They need the forgiveness of sins. They need justification from the things that they've done wrong in their life. They need to be set free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Will you today, if you have not, be called to look at Jesus hanging on a cross and look at the empty tomb and look at the blood that was spent? Will you place your faith in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross so that you can be saved?
You may be saying to yourself, this just seems too easy. How can it just be by faith? There has to be some catch. And the truth is this, if there was a catch, if there was something that you had to do, we'd figure out a way to screw it up. Adam was given one simple rule in the garden, just don't eat of this tree, and he couldn't follow it. This is why God has made it by faith. Number one, so that he can guarantee it to everyone. The simplest child can believe. The oldest adult can believe. He wanted to guarantee it to all. And he wanted to take away, because there's a lot of people that want to just brag about what they've accomplished. And God doesn't like braggarts. So he wants everyone to have that humble understanding that it wasn't because of their goodness. It wasn't because of the things that they accomplished. It wasn't because of the list of things that they could write off their list that made them worthy of being saved. They simply believed God's promise. Anybody can do it. Will you?
Now, we're not a show that gets into politics or what's happening in the sports world. We're not a show that gets into what's going on the world stage or maybe what's happening in the fashion place. But we're a show that opens up the Word of God, digs into what it says, and proclaims it boldly. We hope that you'll stick with us on the rest of season 3, and God bless.
And we'll see you in church.